Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
And so I just want to talk about, and I've spoken along these lines before, but I want to talk about forgiveness and healing. And both of those things can be very difficult things. But both of those things are very, very beautiful things. I'll read from Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Has anybody ever been forgiven? Has anybody ever been forgiven recently? Amen. That's right. Yes, we have. And that is always going to be the case. As long as we are alive, we can say, I have been forgiven recently. Okay, recently. And that's how people are. And I'm glad that we serve a God who forgives to the utmost and who forgives so much better than we do. But we are expected to forgive, okay? And we are given the opportunity to heal. When it comes to healing, and we'll talk mostly about emotional healing here, sometimes we can heal through a process, and sometimes we heal through miraculous intervention, okay? Both are equally valuable, okay? Both of those are equally valuable, but there is often a process that we have to go through. There is so much that we gain. So some hurts can have both. My former pastor, Dr. Patterson, there was a time, this has been, close to 20 years ago maybe now, that, the church, and I was attending there at the time, went through a terrible situation. Someone made a very unwise decision, and the entire church was hurt. The congregation was cut in less than half. That happens sometimes, and Dr. Patterson, he tried to hold this off, but eventually, God just said, "Look, you're just gonna have to let this happen because it's either trouble grows or this happened," and unfortunately, that did. Not everyone, involved in either staying or going were at fault or were hurt. Some people, sometimes things like that happen and you really don't, some people just don't know, what's going on behind the scenes. But in this case, it was something that severely, severely, deeply wounded Dr. Patterson. And he spent a long time trying to heal from this. And he did slowly heal from that. But there was a day, and to hear him describe it, it was both beautiful and brutal, that he said, God, I need you to get past this. I cannot stay where I am. I cannot deal with this pain the way that I'm dealing with. You're going to have to do something. And in that moment, at that very desperate moment, God moved on him and brought him the spiritually miraculous healing to his heart that he very desperately needed. And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes we are hurt and God moves and we think, sometimes maybe immediately we think, I'm going to be okay. I feel better about this situation already. Okay. And I'm not talking about being in denial. That's something else. But, there are times when God makes the difference, but God in his wisdom created us with the ability to heal. And that takes time. Knowing whether we need miraculous healing or time to heal, that can be different, okay? But we should never, never, ever should we feel guilty if we are having difficulty in our healing. If that miraculous time isn't come, we see someone in the altar and we know that they're going through something and they just seem to get the victory and we think, wow, well, where's my victory? Anybody ever felt like that before? Okay. I promise you that person that's getting the victory has felt like that before and will feel like that again, okay? That's just the way it is. But do not feel guilty, okay? Guilt can be appropriate in some situations. I usually say that guilt should be short-lived and not and remembered but not dwelled on, Okay, you know, remember the guilt that we feel over something, but we shouldn't hang on to it. So, never feel guilty if you are struggling with healing over a hurt that you have received. Okay, if you're struggling with feelings toward a certain person, and you know, don't feel guilty about that if you are taking the proper steps. Grief is a major part of this. Now, you might think, well, what does grief have to do with, you know, being hurt by someone, being pain? When we think grief, what do we normally think? The loss of a loved one, okay, or even loss of a pet. And, you know, some people make fun of that a little bit. I don't, you know, pets aren't people like we're people, but, you know, losing a pet is a great loss for some people. We dog sat recently, and we learned by the grace of God, we are not dog people, folks, okay? I'm just not, okay? I was, you know, there came a time I was, you know, just about ready to punt that little thing out the door, okay? Not really, but just, you know, pooping all over the house and just, people do this. People have pets, you know? That's okay, you know? But when someone loses that, they are very devastated. What a lot of times some people want to do, you know, if one pet dies, well, what do some people do? They go buy another one immediately, which is generally speaking, it's not a very wise thing to do if they are doing that as a means of replacing that pet, especially if you buy the same, you know, breed or something like that. You want that pet replaced. That's generally not a very good idea because we have to go through a grieving process or a breakup. You know, we've all been there. Her name was Susie and she broke my heart, you know, and somebody said, you just need to get back up on that horse and just, you know, keep dating. Well, no, not necessarily, because you got to take some time, you know, after that happens. You know, take some time to grieve that loss, okay? So what does grief have to do with being hurt, with someone injuring us in an emotional way? Well, there are different ways that people can emotionally hurt us. You know, in a relationship, there can be infidelity. Now, with that, there is great loss. And I think it's fairly simple to identify that. There is a loss of trust, for one thing, okay? And sometimes people say, you know, I just, they don't even look like the same person. Or it was almost like they died. Something died in a way. And that is very true. Something did die in that relationship. Now, there can be restoration. You know, things can be healed over generally a great amount of time. We understand that. However, there is a great loss in that, okay? If we are being bullied at school, okay, there is a loss there because there is a loss of safety, okay? I know I don't feel safe going into my home. People who have been robbed, you know, it's not just the loss of the things that they have, but what do they say? They say, I felt so violated. I don't feel safe in my own home. So when they're in their home, it doesn't feel like their home as it used to because of what someone took for them. And it wasn't so much the things that were taken, it was that safety. And if someone who is close to us insults us or hurts us, there is a loss in that friendship. There is a loss in that relationship. Sometimes relationships can be, you know, we use the word toxic, and it's not a very clinical term. It can mean a lot of different things. But I have spoken with people who have, you know, they were friends. This one lady I counseled with, she said, I was friends with her for 30 years, and we never had any problems until I realized that some of these things that she had been doing over the years were not good, okay? And, you know, she was able to tolerate some of those. And we do tolerate things in friendships, and that's okay. But what it turned into was that this person was becoming hurt by this friend's actions, okay? Some things, some circumstances had changed, and it brought about a change in the relationship. And so because of that change, this lady said, you know, she's hurting me in this relationship. She's manipulating things. She's doing this. And I said, you are going through a loss. And I said, whether or not you want to continue this friendship is up to you. But if you do, you will have to understand that you're going to continue this relationship at a deficit compared to what it was. You're not going to have the same things in this friendship that you used to have. You're not going to have the same trust. You're probably not going to have the same conversations. So you may have to just let this thing kind of fade out. And it was even starting to do that at the time. And, you know, she said, well, I kind of want closure. Well, we all want closure, but we all don't get it. And I said, if you go to this person and you say, you want this and you expect this and why this and so forth, you may not get what you're looking for. And we don't always get what we're looking for. When someone has hurt us, we confront that person. There's a biblical method of doing that. We confront that person. If they won't hear us, we go and we bring a witness, someone neutral, not just someone on our side to be a, yeah, you tell them kind of person. That's not what we're doing, you know. So, but we bring a neutral party. A lot of times pastor or pastor's wife is the best way to go. And, you know, we try to, you know, establish every word in the mouths of two or three witnesses, as the Bible says. However, I did say that if you don't get what you want out of trying to have this closure or confronting this person or thing, what you may end up with is a greater loss, because they will deepen the things that they have done to you. They will take a stand, and so you're trying to fill these gaps in your relationship, and they're just making these gaps, you know, all that much wider. So that's a decision you have to make, and we do have to make that decision a lot of times. And she had to go through a period of mourning for that friendship, and she, you know, she's doing well. That may always be kind of a sore spot. My father passed away 14 years ago. This year will be 14 years. And, you know, I can listen to a recording of him singing and cry like it was the day of the funeral, you know. So I'm not still grieving, you know, it'll always be there. Some people say you'll always have that pain, you know, you never get over it. I don't really know what that means. I don't, because when you properly grieve, there'll always be something there, but you can go on and you can be happy. You know, you can do well. You can survive. You can heal and so forth. Child abuse, okay? There is a loss there. Some people don't deal with that abuse until into adulthood. And I know someone, you know, very, very, very close to me who suffered some childhood trauma. And that can be very complex because, you know, even in childhood, they're still trying to be a happy family. You know, they may still, say it was dad, they may still ask dad to walk them down the aisle because they're trying to have some normalcy, you know, about it. And so, you know, it looks different for everybody. Some children run away constantly and just despise the parents all the time. Some children have a little more of, you know, what we might call Stockholm syndrome. And, you know, they hold on to that. But then when they become adults, it all just comes crashing in. So what does that person have to do for healing? Okay, they've been hurt deeply. They have to mourn the loss. They have to mourn the loss of possibly early innocence early on. They have to mourn the loss of the childhood that they did not have. They have to take some time to grieve for that. And God, again, in His wisdom, created grief so that it comes in waves. You know, I remember the day of my dad's funeral. We came back, you know, left the graveyard, and I was just, you know, I remember leaving the grave. We're leaving him all by himself in a graveyard. And just it was just awful. And I thought, well, you know, if anybody could make friends in a graveyard, it'd be Johnny Peacock. That's if you knew my dad, you know, yeah. Who knew my dad? Yeah, a couple. But anyway, so it was just devastating. But then that same day, we had dinner. We were laughing. We were cutting up. Oh, sure, there was more grieving to come. But that's how grief is. It's not constant, and a lot of times pain is not constant. Pain a lot of times may come up at a very inopportune time. I love. When I see people in church, sometimes you can tell when someone is praying, you can tell they're going through something, okay? We don't need to try to read anything into what we see or observe, but sometimes you can just see that, okay? And I think that is a wonderful time to process pain or grief because we're in a very safe place, very safe environment. We're around people that support us, and God's Spirit is supporting us. God's not just taking those feelings away. He's causing those feelings to process and overdrive. I mean, it is really flowing. It is really moving. And we're able to handle that strong emotional process because we're among people that love us and we're in the presence of a God that loves us. And He is strengthening to do that. And so some people have looked at that and said, oh, that's spiritual abuse. I'm thinking, you ever done that? No? Well, you don't really know what you're talking about, do you? you know, because that is a very beautiful thing that can happen. So, you know, we talk about the five stages of grief, and I'm not going to get into that really, but, you know, anger, depression, denial, bargaining, and finally acceptance. They're not in any particular order. You'll bounce back from one. You'll get right. It's okay. I'm right here in acceptance. I think I'm accepting. Nope, all the way back down. You know, anger and depression or sadness are alike in that it involves a processing of the feeling. Denial and bargaining are a way of pushing the feelings aside for a while. And I've told people, you can do that for a while if you need to, okay? Not for too long. But if you need to take a break because of circumstances or for whatever good reason, you know, then you can practice that denial a little bit. Not too much, because too much, it you know, things get bad, okay? But sometimes we're in denial automatically. You ever heard someone say, you know, when they suffered a big loss or tragedy, I'm just numb. Right now, I'm numb. Okay, that's denial kicking in. Okay, and so, but that's part of the process. Okay, so what do we do when we have these feelings of pain? Well, Ephesians 4:26. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. Okay, be ye what? Angry. Be angry. It didn't just say you can be angry. That is the command form of the word be. Be angry, and of course, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's not necessarily talking about the sun set, because, you know, if it were that way, well, if we were angry whenever the sun's going down, we would be sinning every time. And so that's not what we're talking about here. So be angry and sin not. The Bible gives us permission to allow strong feelings to process, okay, as long as we do it the right way. So it puts those two things together. Be angry, do it the right way, okay? Be hurt, do it the right way. Allow anger to process without holding on to it, okay? Now, anger versus bitterness. Sometimes it seems like there's a fine, fine line, okay? A fine line. But if you hold on to any amount of bitterness, you might as well hold on to all of it. If I had a 5-gallon bucket of water and I poured into it a very toxic chemical, the only way to completely clean that out is to get rid of all of it, to completely pour it out, okay? But if I'm holding on, if I pour half of it out and hold on to that, there's still some in it. I can fill it back up. Pour half of it out, but I'm still, it's still there. But the thing about bitterness is that it tends to grow, okay? So bitterness can be a very difficult thing to feel with. But Hebrews 12:5 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root, notice that word, root of bitterness, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be, here's a very strong word, defiled. That's what bitterness does. It defiles us. It makes our inside what it should not be. It takes away an innocence that should be there, okay? But what is bitterness, okay? Well, here's one thing about bitterness. It's not necessarily anger, and anger is not necessarily bitterness, okay? Again, I also wanted to point out when he said root of bitterness, what do roots do? They grow. They dig in and they grow. And that's what bitterness can do, all right? So when it comes to grief, you know, it can't be medicated. It can't be rushed. It can't be avoided. It must be embraced. When my father passed, we were at the going to the P.O. Pentecostal of Alexandria at the time. First person at my door was Brother Shock. He was there. And one of the first things he said, and he also said it when he was praying with us, is, God, help us to embrace this grieving process. And I did. You know, I'm not one to just hold back. Y'all know me. I just let it all fly out and hush. And so, you know, and I did that. And I hit it head. I faced it head on. That's more difficult for some people for other reasons. Okay. So with me, that bitterness, I mean, that grieving process involved anger a lot, partly because it was it occurred 18 days before my second daughter was born, okay, and my dad had passed suddenly. You want to talk about anger. I have never, I never knew love until I had children. I never knew anger until that happened. And so that was a great amount of anger. And I'll be honest, I even felt anger towards God. Now, just between me and God, this is what I felt like God said to me. I felt He said, that's okay as long as you're faithful. I mean, I couldn't help those feelings. I'm like, God, who did you put in charge of this? Did they mess up? Well, that's just me saying, trying not to say, God, you messed up, which He didn't. But those were just the feelings that I had. So you can have a whole lot of feelings towards other people. You can have a whole lot of anger towards other people. And, some years back, there was a leader in my life that handled a situation I did not feel like was proper. And I was, healing over that. And it had been a couple years. But then that same leader did something that was contrary to what I think they would have done with us. In other words, like, yeah, now you're trying to have your cake and eat it too. You wouldn't do that for us, but you'll do that for that. I know I'm being very vague on purpose here, but the point is, that was a close second to the anger that I felt, when my dad passed, a real close second, all right? Now, that was anger towards a person. That's okay. Here's what was not okay. When I started thinking, man, you know what? They're going to fail. They're going to fail. And they're going to fail hard. And I can't wait to see it. That's bitterness, okay? Bitterness involves ill will towards someone else. That's what it is. That is the long and short of it, okay? When we are angry, and you don't have to be very angry. I was going to say angry to the point, but honestly, you don't have to be very angry to want ill will towards someone, okay? You can just be angry at someone in traffic. I hope you get pulled over right now. I hope you lose your license, okay? That's a little bit of bitterness going on, and sometimes we do that. I'm just wanting that for everybody's safety. That's what it is, So what do we do sometimes? We make excuses for our bitterness. I want this person to fail just so they don't hurt anybody else. Just so this, yeah, sure, that's why. That's why we want them to fail. That's why we want them to mess up. But if we're honest with ourselves, if we are harboring ill will towards another person, that's what we have to let go. Now, I have a phrase that I use. I know my daughter's heard me say this when it comes to difficult feelings. Even anxiety, depression, don't fight it. That's our problem a lot of times. We think we've got to fight all these emotions and fight that. I believe in God helping us, and I believe in treatment and different things like that. But if you're having a sudden attack of anxiety, don't fight it. Just find a safe place, pray, ask God to, help you with it. And what do I say? Let it flow and let it go. That's right. I know that sounds like a platitude, but it is the truth. Let it flow and let it go. Honestly, let it flow and it will go. Emotions, very difficult emotions, generally speaking, last about 90 seconds. Okay. If you get angry about something, in traffic, someone made you angry, you stubbed your toe, an animal left a present for you, okay? Generally, that anger or frustration lasts not a very long period of time. Now, children, when they're feeling anger and they're in that moment, as far as they're concerned, that's where they are for life, okay? It's kind of like someone who's having, and I know this is a weird example, but, follow me here, someone who's having a bad trip, if you've ever seen someone having a bad drug trip, they suddenly feel like they're going to be stuck there forever, okay? And you can't do anything with them. I dealt with somebody like that once, and all I could do was just sit and just say, I'm here. That's all I could do, okay? So it's no accident that drugs can have a similar impact as immaturity, okay? Because when we hold on to that and we're thinking, I'm angry now, I'm always going to be here, it's a lot like someone who's messed up their mind with something they shouldn't be messing with, okay? That's the reason for that connection there, in case you thought I was going off into la-la land there for a little bit, which I do anyway, and that's all right. But, the point I'm making here is that deliberately staying in an angry place is extremely unhealthy. I work with, as a registered behavioral technician, I work with a young boy. is about 5 years old. He's on the autism spectrum. And emotional regulation is very difficult for him. He's five, he's young, but you know that's something he will struggle with more than most people. So whenever he becomes frustrated over something that he really doesn't need to be frustrated over, it just sometimes just dropping something in the floor, you know, can be just devastating to him. So what we'll do is what we call redirecting, all right? And so I'll pick him up and say, hey, let's go fly, or let's do this, or let's do that. Sometimes, you know, that can be effective. So if we're aggravated over something and we think, I should not still be mad about this, I should have moved on by now, it's time to redirect. And I think the first step we need to take in redirecting is talking to God about it. Say, God, I am stuck here for whatever reason. You know, it could be a touch of OCD. I promise you nobody understands that any better than I do. And we get stuck somewhere for a while. We just, you know, wringing our hands and I just want to move on. And so we say, God, I've either got to let it flow and go, or you got to help me redirect here somehow, okay? Some people redirect in very negative ways. There's alcohol, there's abusive and negative things that they may do. So, you know, all this is what bitterness is about, okay? It's wishing someone to fail, okay? And you may even have that urge for a long time. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll talk about that, but forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Okay, well, here's what is not unforgiveness. Emotions are not unforgiveness. If you are still having negative emotions about a person, that does not mean you cannot or have not forgiven them, even if you've already said in your heart, I forgive them. You can have a little bit of anger, or at least the potential for anger, in your heart about someone for years. You know, this person I was telling you about, now they're this leader, they're doing fine. I really want them to do well. But you know, I heard about something a decision that they had made about something, and I thought, really, are you serious right now? Okay, that was my reaction to that. Now I know I just had to say, okay, I don't know the whole story there, so I'm gonna just let that be. But even now, after so many years later, there can be a little touch of that. But what do? I move on. I absolutely move on. And if that person were to fail, if his whole thing that he's doing were to just collapse around him, what I've got to do is resist the feeling of satisfaction. Oh, that's a tough one right there. I was at a red light not long ago, and I was a couple cars behind. And it turned green, and we started to go, and somebody just came right across the front of us, and I honked. Well, there was a cop right beside me. I was like, turn them on. And yes, they turned them on and pulled that person over. And what did the human side of me do? Yeah! What did the spiritual man say do? You resist that now. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. You know, but that's what I do. And I had to tell myself, you know what? Maybe this person's having a bad day. Maybe I don't know their story. Maybe this is what they need. Maybe something good will come of this, you know, for them. But whatever the case, whatever I need to do to resist that feeling of satisfaction, because that's something we just have to move on from. Now, if you find yourself feeling that sense of satisfaction if someone fails, again, that's not bitterness. If, what does the Bible say to do to those who spitefully use us? Pray for them. If that person is failing, if that person is messing up, if that person is getting what they deserve, what do we do if we start feeling a little bit satisfied? God help them. I pray that not too many people are hurt in this situation. I pray that the most positive comes of this. I pray that they can grow as a person. You know, I pray for them, not in a haughty way, like, God, help them not to be such an awful person. You know, that's not how we pray, okay? Some people are awful, but, you know, that's not really our place. But, you know, pray for them in a positive way. Saying a prayer for someone who has hurt you is a very powerful thing, way to change your perspective on that person. Let me say that again. Praying for someone who has hurt you, who has damaged you, who has made you have to go through a bunch of junk that you shouldn't have had to go through, praying for that person can help you see them through the eyes of God. Because I guarantee you, there's not a person in here who has not, and if you haven't, give it some time, committed the same type of hurt against someone else, even if we didn't truly want to do that. Okay? So forgiveness is a choice. It truly is just a choice. I like to watch 2020. Any 2020 fans in here? Okay, that's kind of sometimes the older generation. But you know, it seems like it's always true crime, the true crime kind of thing. You know, and then they have victim impact statement. And what do I hear? What do we hear almost always from victim impact statement? I cannot forgive you. Now I will tell you this. What some of those people have gone through, I have no idea what that would be like. I have absolutely no idea what that would mean. Because forgiveness is most difficult when someone hurts our loved ones, especially our kids. What do they say? A man will whoop you over his wife or his siblings, but he'll kill you over his kids. Okay? That's just the way that we are. You know, my dad, somebody made fun, I had had some problems in my ear, I'm deafened to this day, but it was, problems when I was younger. If somebody, and I sometimes would have bandages or something on, if somebody made fun of them, that's a way to set my dad off. He'd make a beeline for them. And I got to admit, he maybe shouldn't have done that every time. And I've told people in my own family, look, if someone does something to your kids, that doesn't justify breaking out the Papa Bear claws or the Mama Bear claws and injuring that person. It's just not. I've told our own kids that. If somebody hurts you, I'm going to do what I can to protect you. Like, I'm going to say, look, that's my child. You want to take a step back there, homeboy? We're gonna have words. We're going to talk, all right? And, me and Louisville, Mr. Louisville, going to stand against if we have to, all right? And so I'll do all that, but what I'm not going to do is just go get them out of vengeance for them. And it is very difficult because there have been people who have hurt my kids and at times severely hurt my kids. And I was ready to fight, but what I had to do was just say, look, I forgive that person, and I want nothing more to do with that person. I'm moving on. If they ever try to enter our lives again, they will be unsuccessful at doing so. Okay, because of some things that I don't trust them around my family, and some people I'll never trust around my family. That's okay, if they're depending on the situation. So sometimes when we forgive someone that has hurt our loved ones, we almost have a sense of failing our loved ones. And even our loved ones, our kids, or someone may say, they hurt me. You need to do something about that. And we have to say, look, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to show you what the right thing to do is here. I'm going to be honest. I want to take Mr. Louisville Slugger, and go for a visit, right? But I'm not going to do that. There are other actions I might want to take, but I'm not going to do that because, they would be acts of vengeance, okay? Now, if it were to be a legal matter, obviously sometimes we have to take, certain legal action. I understand that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that when it's appropriate, okay? But I do tell them we're going to have to forgive them. Now, I'm going to help you through this anger that you're feeling. I'm going to help you through that. I'm feeling some too, all right? But we would be failing our loved ones if we didn't take that position, okay? Some parents are old school, and there were times when my parents would just, don't, my kid, don't you, my kid, that's the way my mom said, my kids, and they just pulled back, am I right, my kid, so kind of thing, and, you love them for it, but, sometimes we just got to take a little bit different approach, all right, because those feelings, it's never an excuse for bad decisions. Never an excuse for bad decisions. I've told people, I am very sorry for what you're going through. I truly am. But the only way that I can help you is to tell you to make the choice to forgive. And here's what forgiving is. Here's what it simply is. Forgiveness is no longer holding someone personally accountable for wrongdoing. If someone was forgiven in the eyes of the law, it means they don't face punishment. If someone is forgiven in the eyes of God, they don't face eternal punishment. If someone is forgiven in our eyes, we don't talk bad about them. We don't wish ill will toward them. We don't try to seize an opportunity if it comes up to be a witness against them. And so I'm not necessarily talking legally, but just, you know, to say something against them. We no longer hold them accountable. Again, that doesn't mean we just let somebody right back in our lives. Have you ever had somebody that you just had to say, sorry, I've got to get you out of my life? You know, that's happened. That's okay. Even the Bible says, avoid those that cause division. You know, mark those that cause division among you and avoid them. There is biblical time that we can say. The Bible says, you know, you go to this person and, you know, you try to fix things, take someone with you. If you still can't fix things, bid them farewell. Wish them well, because you cannot be in a relationship with this person. Okay, don't, you know, we could talk about, you know, codependent relationships and things like that, where there's a, you know, codependency is essentially where you know, the dynamic is such that one person will sacrifice their own well-being or even take, you know, part in bad behavior in order to appease this other person. And, the, you know, the power in the relationship is completely skewed, and it's dangerous. And so with some relationships, they can't be really anything other than that. So you have to avoid them. Sometimes even just temperament types. If you have two people who have very controlling temperaments, and controlling temperaments can be good, you know, done the right way. You know, those people make great leaders, but two people with controlling temperaments are almost never going to be best buds. You know, they will butt heads. They will disagree. One tries to control and one tries to control, and it just can't work. That's okay. That's absolutely fine. Okay, you know, Sister B and I, we're friends. I love her death. I'm glad she's going to school. But we may never have a backyard cookout with Sister B. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. You know, she's got her bow now. You know, they got in the house. All right, and y'all just look happier than pigs in slop. And that little pig, that was just great. You know, so but you know, we may never ever be bosom buddies or, you know, really close tight. That's okay. That's absolutely fine. You know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We would have to be tight, and it may be even a little more than that. There may be other people in this church that's just not my kind of guy, you know, okay? And it's just something about them just grates us the wrong way. Or maybe the way that they talk, we just, when they come and say hi, you know, it's not you, it's me, and I just, you know, kind of, yeah, God bless you. That's okay. I guarantee you, more than one person in this church has felt that way about me, okay? It's just, you know, I'm like strong coffee. Like, yeah, isn't he great? One sip, no more. We're done with you, okay? That's why I only evangelized at some churches one time. He was awesome, but I don't think we're going to have him back. That was a lot to handle, you know, kind of thing. That's okay. That's absolutely fine, all right? As long as we sin not. As long as we sin not. Some people who have damage in their relationship still go to the same church. I've seen divorced couples that still go to the same church, and it there's some difficulty there. I've seen them, you know, they start sitting on opposite sides of the church. You know, neither one of them want to change churches, which is absolutely fine, but they really can't communicate so much anymore. But they're, you know, they're doing things the right way. You know, they're not causing problems. They're not, you know, hopefully not, don't have any ill will towards one another, but they just really can't, you know, can't be in a lot of communication because of some history there. As long as they're doing things the right way, that can be okay. It really can be. And, you know, when I first came here, you know, I talked to Brother Ed about some things in my life, some hurt that I had felt, and he said, well, I can I can tell you, you know, that'll pass over time. Now, I've taken a whole 45 minutes here, you know, to talk about all this, and he summed it up in, that'll go away in time. And that was all I needed. you know, I'm Mr. Analyze. I'm Mr. The, you know, that'll go away in time. I can tell you that. And it did. It really did. And I came to a point where I'm okay with this. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Sometimes you think, I am never going to get over this pain. And then, you know, but, you know, you're going through these processes. You're going through this thing. You're trying. You're praying. And then one day you're just, I'm okay. And that feeling, anybody know that feeling? Whether it's whatever it is that you go, oh, wow, that's what this is like. That's what, I'm always going to miss my dad. Yeah, but I'm okay. I'm all right. This, you know, I'm always going to have that person that mistreated my family, mistreated my kids, but I think I'm okay. Yeah, I really do think I'm okay. And it just hits you one day and you have this peace. Okay? And you have this knowing. You just know maybe I'll have another bad day or two, but if I do, that's fine because right now I know I'm okay. The only way to get there is through forgiveness. It's the only way we can get there. What was it? I believe it was movie star Carrie Fisher, you know, Princess Leia. She said, bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And that phrase has been, you know, restated and used in other ways. Unforgiveness, you know, the same thing. And that is the absolute truth. And so you may not be able to tell someone. I'll end with this. You may not be able to tell someone that you forgive them because they don't think they did anything wrong. If someone really doesn't think they did anything wrong, then it's probably not a good idea to say, I forgive you. Because, excuse you? you forgive me? Of course, we've had that happen. You know, someone that should have apologized to us and they forgive us, and what do you do? All right, you know. And so, you know, we can't always go to that person. So the Bible doesn't say that forgiveness has to happen, you know, in person, you know. But it does need to happen, and because we can't let that root of bitterness grow.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.